Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Artistic groups use the latest technology to fill seats. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is January 16th, 2013. We're on day three of Newsworthy Clips. You can find this article today, this news clip, on page 26 in your Advanced magazine. And the title of the article, the news clip, is Tweet Seats. So we've had a couple of interesting days of Newsworthy Clips, always very diverse in the topics that we cover. First day, what did we cover, Nathaniel?
The first day, we covered men's health scheduling and how we need to take better advantage of preventative medicine.
Okay, very relevant for all of our male listeners in our audience. Also, of course, relevant for our female listeners, too. Everybody needs some regularly scheduled checkups and tests as we get older. So it's we have preventative maintenance on cars, and we certainly need to apply that to ourselves. We need preventative maintenance on our bodies. And we might be able to catch some things before they become too much of a problem, especially serious diseases like cancer. If you can catch it early, then you can just eliminate that problem, hopefully, if you catch it early in stage one or stage two. So don't wait too long, particularly if you feel something that might not be right. Day two of Newsworthy Clips, Carolyn.
Well, day two, we talked about rice growth and phosphorus deficiency and how scientists have been working for the past 15 years and have finally discovered the gene that can allow rice to grow in phosphorus-deficient soil.
Okay. All right. Very important that they be able to solve this problem for a couple of reasons. One, the supply of phosphorus could run out in 50 to 100 years. It is a key element in enriching soil. It's a key in fertilizer that farmers and gardeners use to grow crops. But if phosphorus runs out, there's got to be a way to grow rice in phosphorus-deficient soil. And this is very, very important because so much of the world relies on rice. So, and then we learned that yesterday. Now, today, we talk about tweet seats. As I mentioned, it's on page 26, and there's all kind of ways to keep up to date through social networks. Of course, there's Facebook, and there's instant messaging and all sorts of things. And we've got Twitter, people making tweets about everything. Did you ever use Twitter, Carolyn?
I have not used Twitter. I know lots of people who do, and occasionally when I check my Facebook updates, there will also be people who have posted that same update to Twitter and Facebook, and it gives you that information as well.
Yeah. How about you, Nathaniel?
No, my Twitter exposure is very low. It just seems like one small piece of what Facebook is with the status function on Facebook, and I guess I just never understood the appeal to it.
Okay. Well, those are my panelists, everybody, Nathaniel Dunn and Carolyn Bug. They're back here for day three. And Twitter is extremely popular in the United States, in Canada, and also throughout Europe. Here in Asia, it's kind of limited so far as Twitter usage. I asked about that in our discussion earlier, and you said that mostly here in Asia, it's like
more
celebrities.
Celebrities,
right?
Yeah. Pop stars will update their Twitter status and let people know where they're going, what they recommend, what they like to do, what they like to eat. Pretty basic things, but it's something that the fans enjoy.
Yeah, okay, because they can follow their favorite stars. I think eventually this will trickle down as far as to wider usage among the masses as far as people using Twitter, certainly because people like Facebook. It's very popular here in Asia, and I think Twitter is kind of an extension of that. It's just a different tool. It's just these quick pops where you can state what you're doing at that time and just let everybody know. Of course, you can do that on Facebook. Twitter is slightly different. You are limited to 140 characters to make your tweet or your comment. So that's what we're talking about, tweet seats. Now, in America, Twitter is being used with by certain artistic groups, and there's a method to their madness, and we're going to find out why they are doing this in this article. So let's have our first reading. It'll be that left column on page 26, down to line 24.
Tweet seats. As the cast and crew hurried to prepare for their 7:30 p.m. curtain call in Connecticut's Norma Terrace Theater last month, patrons filled the house and prepared to get lost in the production of Hello, My Baby. For some, that meant powering on their smartphones and iPads and telling all of their Twitter followers about the musical with the hashtag HMBMusical. A growing number of theaters and performing groups across the country are setting aside tweet seats, in-house seats for patrons to live tweet during performances. Rick Dildine, the executive director for Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, an outdoor theater festival that began using tweet seats 2 years ago, said tweet seats have become a national trend. Coast to coast, theaters are experimenting with how to use tweet seats effectively, he said. The arts are evolving right now. They are participatory. Social media is a tool we rely on, and we have been unafraid to experiment with it.
Okay, tweet seats, and we get into what this means, tweet seats.
We see in the first sentence here that as the cast and crew hurried to prepare for their 7:30 p.m. curtain call, curtain call here is when you have to report to the curtain or to the stage if you're in a show, you're ready to get into this show. And this one is taking place in Connecticut's Norma Terrace Theater last month.
Okay, now, I know you've done a good bit of acting. Haven't you, Nathaniel?
That is true. I did a lot of acting in high school on the stage, and I did a lot of directing in college for the stage.
So you're used to this curtain call thing?
Yes, yes, I would say so.
All right. So an important part of the work in the theater. And now we see here at this Norma Terrace Theater last month in Connecticut. And then we see the patrons did what?
The patrons filled the house and prepared to get lost in the production of Hello, My Baby. And here, if you get lost in something, then you immerse yourself. You become a part of the show. And if you go to a really good production, a really good performance of a stage show, then you feel like you are part of that show. You're pulled into that imaginary world.
Okay. Patrons, just as another word used for what?
We could just say customers. A restaurant has patrons just like this theater does.
Okay. Now, yes, it is easy to get lost in the production. If it's a really good production, you can move to another place because if something is so good, right, your imagination can take over. So now, as far as getting lost in the production, for some, it meant what?
That meant powering on, turning on their smartphones and iPads and telling all of their Twitter followers about the musical with this hashtag, HMBMusical.
This is a bit different from most theatrical experiences, right?
Yes. So usually when you go to a performance of any kind, they make an announcement before the show saying, please turn off your cell phones. Please turn off your electronic devices because it can interrupt the show if they make any noise. But now they're telling them, power on your smartphone or your iPad.
Okay. All right. Well, you can maybe turn off the ringer.
Right.
Turn off the sound where it's just on vibrate in case somebody does call. But also, there's a reason they usually don't have your power on, not only for the sound, but also just even the light. Is a distraction, right?
Yes, it is. It really is.
Huh. Yeah. You can imagine if you're sitting there, not just a phone, a smartphone, but if I had somebody sitting next to me with an iPad, that would really be distracting. I'd be like, what are you doing? You know? But this is this, you know, is being encouraged by the theater. So because they are telling all of their Twitter followers, then the theater is encouraging this for the patrons to tell all of their Twitter followers about the musical. Now, what's this thing about this hashtag #HMBMusical?
So when you post something on Twitter, you usually have a little hashtag or something that goes at the end of your message to indicate kind of the theme or where you are or a summary of what you're feeling or thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the pound sign, the number sign, followed by a series of letters, an abbreviation of what you're thinking or doing. And here it's HMB, so Hello My Baby, Musical.
Okay. All right. Now we see then why this is happening.
A growing number of theaters and performing groups across the country are setting aside tweet seats, in-house seats for patrons to live tweet during performances.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good. At least they're setting aside or they're making a special section of tweet seats. At least these people are not sprinkled throughout the audience.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really distracting.
Yes, it really would.
As a performer, what do you think about this if you're up on stage and you had all this stuff going on?
Yeah, I don't know. These things may not be that distracting for performers, provided that they do take care that their devices don't make noise during performances.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the small screen would be facing the viewer and not the stage. But there are cases where I could imagine these things causing some kinds of disruptions. Obviously, a phone call would do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, okay, you've got we take the sound out of it. But even when it's on vibrate, you can still hear it, right?
You can. Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. As an actor, as a performer, if it's an opera, you're singing, you're trying to remember everything, which is very difficult. And then bzz, 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 that might be enough just to throw you off and affect the performance, let alone the movement. Right? There's movement.
And it's also very disruptive to everyone around you.
Yeah.
So I know I get very easily distracted if someone takes out their cell phone at a movie theater and starts texting next to me. It's very, very distracting and aggravating because I would like to watch the movie, but all I hear is click, 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 click with the typing or the glow of their screen is forcing me to look away from the screen because there are too many lights going on.
It does draw your attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you find that out when you go into a restaurant and there's a TV on. Even if you don't want to watch the TV, your eyes are drawn to this thing. You don't even want to watch it. It's still drawn to that. Well, these tweet seats we see in line 12, in-house seats for patrons to live tweet during performances. That just means that they are doing their tweets as it is happening. That's what we mean by live tweeting. Now, next we hear from Rick Dildon.
Yes, he is the executive director for Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, which is an outdoor theater festival that began using TweetSeats 2 years ago. And he said that TweetSeats have become a national trend.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, they started doing this 2 years ago, and an outdoor theater festival, meaning probably I think this is something that might last for like a temporary period of time, maybe a week or 2 weeks or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably likely a limited time like that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So he says tweet seats have become a national trend. And what he's saying is so it's not just in Connecticut, not just in St. Louis, but this is prevalent throughout theaters in the country. Maybe not every one of them, but in some of them. Now, coast to coast.
Yeah, coast to coast. Theaters are experimenting with how to use tweet seats effectively, he said. So they're trying to see the best way that they can really use tweet seats because we've all expressed some concerns of our own here as to, well, if we aren't really participating in the tweeting, then it can be very distracting. What about the performers on stage? So they're trying to find the best way that tweet seats can be used.
And he continues.
He said that the arts are evolving right now. They are participatory. So you should be involved in something that you're watching, whether it's this musical, whether it's a concert. Any of these different things should have some kind of audience participation, even if it isn't directly with the performers. I think that's maybe, in some ways, a debatable statement.
Yes, well, he says that the arts are evolving and continues to say that social media is a tool we rely on, and we have been unafraid to experiment with it. So if you are unafraid, then you don't have fear. You're not afraid to try something new.
Okay, let's take a look at these last two sentences in this. It's this quote from this guy, Rick Dildine. And he says the arts are changing, evolving right now. They're participatory. We had an article last year talking about how the MTV Music Awards incorporated tweets, and there were screens on the side of the stage, and people could just tweet in from all over the country, in fact, not just the audience, but all over the country. And so it was trying to get people to participate in this. It is experimental in a way. They're trying to figure out what is the best way to use that. They're trying to get audiences involved. It's a whole new thing, because in the past, the idea was that the audience just sits there and shuts up. Don't move. Don't talk. Don't make any noise. And this is a whole different deal, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Maybe the arts are changing in some ways, in style perhaps. But I think that the way that the audience participates in art does not have to be by typing into a little machine while they're watching the performance.
Okay. All right. And he says here social media is a tool we rely on. And he means not just Twitter, but he's talking about all social media, being Facebook or other platforms that people can use. And he's saying, well, if we want to evolve, I think what he's saying in this paragraph is maybe we need to change too. We need to take a look at this. How can we incorporate this into our production in a productive way? I think one thing with the tweet seats is theaters might have had a problem with people doing this anyway in individual seats that were sprinkled throughout the theater. I'm wondering, I think that might have been one of the issues here. I think all theaters in the past couple of years, they've had to look at this and say, especially with live performances, that people are doing things throughout the audience. They might be using this. There's a couple of reasons this is happening. There's a couple of reasons they're experimenting with this. I think one of them might be is they're trying to centralize people who are going to be using their gadgets during the production. Instead of having these people sprinkled throughout the audience and disrupting everybody, this is one way of putting everybody in one place and minimizing the impact that they have on the audience. So that's one of the reasons. There's another key reason that they might be experimenting with it, but I'll get into it after this reading.
The Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, CSO, began using tweet seats in September, and Chris Pinello, its vice president for communication, said it was successful based on hashtag traffic. It was great to see how people were reacting to the orchestra, and frankly, reacting to the insights happening backstage, he said. Tweeting the CSO's performance was like attending a members-only social event in the midst of a traditionally formal setting, said tweeter Jennifer Nissenbaum, 35. I could communicate openly about my reactions to the music, musicians, and conductor without speaking a word. Plus, I had the opportunity to engage others and get their reactions to the performance. Pinello said the CSO hopes tweet seats will attract a different audience. For a lot of new audience members, this is a way to further advance their concert-going experience, he said.
Okay, we just were in St. Louis, Missouri, hearing from Rick Dildine, the executive director for the Shakespeare Festival there in St. Louis. Now we go up the river to Ohio, the state of Ohio, and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, CSO. What did we learn about them?
Well, we learned that they began using TweetSeats in September, and their vice president for communication, Chris Pinello, said it was successful based on the hashtag traffic.
Okay, and we have a quote there at the top of the right column on page 26 from Chris Pinello.
Pinello says that it was great to see how people were reacting to the orchestra through these tweets, and frankly, reacting to the insights happening backstage, he said.
Okay, so he was saying, this is interesting, we're getting feedback from people reacting to the orchestra. What's he talking about, this insights, the happening backstage?
I guess what he's talking about is maybe people are seeing these tweets backstage as the show goes on, and the people say, oh, this is what they're thinking while the show is still going on, which is would be interesting, I think, for performers, people backstage. That's true.
Okay, that was from Chris Pinello, and he is actually the Vice President of Communications for the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. We continue the next paragraph, hearing from one of the CSO's tweeters.
Yes, it says, tweeting the CSO's performance was like attending a members-only social event in the midst of a traditionally formal setting. And this was said by Jennifer Nissenbaum.
Okay, so she was sitting in their tweet seats, and, you know, what is she talking about here?
Well, I guess she feels like being able to tweet at this event gives her this members-only kind of feel, like she has a special privilege, even though this is not generally the kind of setting where you would expect to be able to do something like that. I don't know if I would share her feeling about that, though.
Yeah. Well, traditionally formal setting, of course, a symphony orchestra is something where people normally will go. It is very reserved, very formal, very conservative. People are sitting there quiet, not wanting to disrupt anybody, not moving around, not making any noise. So that why it is normally a traditional formal setting. And she continues in line 18.
Yes, she says, I could communicate openly about my reactions to the music, musicians, and conductor without speaking a word. So this is really important during a performance because, you know, you want to make a comment on something, but you can't speak to anyone around you because then that would disrupt their enjoyment of the performance.
Okay. Sometimes you might lean over to the person next to you and say, wow, that was really good, or I really like that part of it, right? And she continues in line 21.
Plus, I had the opportunity to engage others and get their reactions to the performance. So I guess people with these tweet seats can actually communicate with each other by looking at all the different comments that are occurring live during the show.
Right. The tweets, there will be a running stream of tweets, not just – she'll be able to see not only, of course, her tweets, but then all of the other tweeters there, and she can see what their thoughts are about the production. We then go back to Chris Pinello of the CSO in this last paragraph.
Yes, he says that the CSO hopes TweetSeats will attract a different audience, so your non-traditional audience.
Okay. That is actually what I was saying prior to this reading. That's the other key reason here. They are trying to fill seats. They are trying to attract a non-traditional audience. They want, you know, normally at the symphony orchestra, it's been an older crowd. It's just usually maybe a middle-aged crowd or older crowd that appreciates that music, willing to spend the money on this. They, you know, there would be some younger people sprinkled in through the crowd, but maybe they're realizing, hey, we really need to attract a younger generation to ensure the survivability of the symphony orchestra. The reason for that is a lot of the symphony orchestras have struggled financially, and so this is one way of filling the seats. It's also a good idea because then if you can attract people maybe in their 20s or 30s, they might be patrons for several decades. A long time. Chris Pinello then finishes up here with a quote.
For a lot of new audience members, this is a way to further advance their concert-going experience, he said. I think that there is truth in that. I think maybe if there is a plus, a positive aspect to this idea, that might be it.
Okay. All right. And part of that is accommodating this younger audience and you know, look, people just today, the younger generation, they're not satisfied maybe just to sit there. They have this need to communicate, right?
Right. So Twitter and Facebook, you can check them on your phones. There's this constant need to be engaged in some sort of activity, to be sharing your opinions with your friends. And if you're at a concert and you think, oh, wow, that movement in this piece was really fantastic, I want to tell my friends about it. But if you don't do it right away, you might forget to tell them later. So you can go right ahead and tweet, and then they know, and they can experience that with you even if they aren't there.
Speaking of fantastic, here's our feature.
What are you guys doing?
I'm updating my Twitter. They call it live tweeting. You know, like getting the latest and greatest in real time.
And I'm commenting on his tweet.
And then I can comment on his comment.
You do realize you are sitting right next to each other, right?
Yes.
So?
It's also intermission. What could you possibly be writing? We haven't even finished watching the show.
I'm providing everyone with my wonderfully entertaining insights into the performance so far.
They are most definitely wonderfully entertaining.
And why would anyone apart from Derek care about such insights?
Trust me, shows are much more interesting if they're participatory. Plus, it allows those who aren't able to come to the performance a chance to feel like they're here.
But you're so distracted and focused on what you want to tweet that you can't even get lost in the story and performance.
That's not true. I am paying attention. Maybe even more than before. I have to find interesting things to tweet about after all.
What?
Wow! Naomi from Advanced Studio Classroom just commented on my tweet. See? I do have fans.
All right, listeners, thanks for joining us here. Before we sign off, let me just get maybe a thought or two. First, Nathaniel.
Yeah, I think that this phenomena, what this idea is, this tweet seats, I'm not a big fan of it. I think that it could bring up the factor of distraction for the audience. And I think it encourages, you know, this engaging discussion during something as it goes on, rather than, you know, getting together with friends and talking about what you just watched afterward. I don't see why these things can't wait until after the show is over. You can take it all in, not miss any part of it, and then discuss it.
Yeah. Well, I find that true, whether it's tweet or especially Facebook. I experience Facebook here more often, or even text messaging at performances. And it might even be movie theaters or concerts here in Taipei. And I like to turn my phone off because I don't want to be distracted, and I want to be fully present in the experience. I want to fully get it. And if I'm busy trying to communicate with people, I'm going to miss things. So. Well, listeners, thanks for joining us here for News Clips. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Carolyn.
And Nathaniel.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.